Welcome to Through the Wire, episode 4. I got the usual cast with me, Pierre, Derek, Yo. And Mike. Yo, okay. So right before we decided to sit down and record this at the usual time, we got the breaking news that Melo was traded to OKC. Now, the terms were New York agreed to a deal to send Carmelo Anthony to OKC for a Nance Cancer, Doug McDermott, and a draft pick, which is the Bulls draft pick for this year, second round draft pick. And boom, it's done. Melo is on OKC. He waived his no trade. He waived his trade kicker, which means that he doesn't get paid this year because he got traded. And it's done.
Wait. He don't get paid this year.
I mean, he doesn't. So in his original deal when he signed with the Knicks, if he got traded, he got a 15% increase in his salary the year that he got traded. But in order to make the numbers match, he said, forget that 15%. I'm going OKC. So, yeah, he get paid. Of course, he getting paid big money, too.
Same thing Kyrie did, right?
Yeah. Okay. Most people, when they sign those contracts, superstars, they want that trade increase. Mm-hmm. And they give it to him because it's your star player. You're going to give him whatever you want.
Exactly.
Okay. We're going to start off with Pierre because he is the Knicks fan at the table. Pierre, thoughts, Melo traded, Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, second round pick.
As a Melo fan, I'm happy because I want Melo. I feel like this is a great opportunity for him to solidify his fucking legacy. He's 33. He's never gonna get like an MVP award or something crazy, but he's on a contending team where he can take his game up a level. And if he can beat, if that team can beat the Warriors alone, just beat the Warriors, let alone win a championship, he would solidify his legacy. On the other part, as a Knicks fan, what we got is terrible. I'm not a fan of Doug McDermott. I like Enes Kanter, but we have Porzingis and Hernan Gomez. But I don't feel like we were going to get anything from any team. So I mean, I guess it's better than fucking Ryan Anderson. So that's really all I have to say. If Melo wins, Knicks Nation, we all gonna feel a part of it, and that's about it.
So would you have been happier if they just bought him out? Because you think about Enes Kanter's contract, he has one of the worst contracts in the league. It's not that he's a terrible player,
right,
but he's extremely overpaid for 2 more years, along with the bad contracts y'all already got in Noah and Courtney Lee. Does that matter?
Yeah, it does matter.
Okay.
I would be lying if I said it didn't matter, but I'm glad they traded him, though. I would have hated that they just bought him out. At least that showed me that they had some. They tried something. They have some care. Buying a player out is just like, I don't know. I don't think Melo deserves that to just be bought out. That's just, I don't know. To me, that's just a sign of disrespect. I mean, it could be a respectful sign, like, hey, we respect that you want to just move on, but don't let that man go for nothing. I mean, give us something. Maybe Enes Kanter, we can flip him for another second round pick or something. I don't know. Give us something.
Mike, Derek.
All right. Well, this is not in the case of the Knicks. You said earlier when OKC got Paul George, they GM just pulling strings and bringing in nothing out of his ass, right?
Exactly, Sam Preston.
He just brought in Carmelo Anthony.
I got a tweet. Hold on. Before you finish that point,
okay,
there's a tweet that says Sam Presti gave up Victor Oladipo, Domantas Sabonis, Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and a second round pick for Carmelo Anthony and Paul George. Sam Presti, GM of the year, mate.
He's making up for that James Harden trade, definitely.
Oh, for sure, because that's like one of the worst deals.
All I got to say is you got the pieces. Now, how are you going to play them? Because are they going to put Melo at that 4?
They have to,
but in a way, he did play 4 in some time in New York.
In New York, our best season as a Knicks team, he was at the 4. Amari Stoudemire was the 5. He was the 4.
And then I guess that works out. I mean,
and like then you put Patrick Patterson on the bench now.
That's right.
He's going to be like your 6th man at this point.
Because exactly.
Their bench is complete garbage.
That's what I say. One of them has to be on the floor at all times. At least with three of them, that's definitely possible.
I mean, you know Russell is going to play.
That's basically what the Warriors did anyway. Like, there's always one of the big 4 on the court at all times.
Mm-hmm.
It can work. It can work that way.
Mm-hmm. Now, all I got to say is when they're all on the floor, how do you, who calls the plays? Because Russell runs the show. Mm-hmm. Paul George likes to get the ball and run the show. Melo definitely needs the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I'm worried about. But if they can make it work, sky's the limit for them.
Hey, I said on the first or second podcast, this season will show us what Russell Westbrook is really about.
I think he could take that step back and be unselfish.
I hope so. I really hope so.
I feel like he's humble enough to where he know, all right, I won MVP. Mm-hmm. I don't got to prove nothing else. Let me just go out here and just do what it takes for my team to get this W.
The people that say he's a ball hog, look at his damn roster last year. Who is he going to pass the ball to? I mean, yeah, he averaged 10 assists, but he took over games because he had no other choice. There was no second option on that team. So I think he can take – I think he's still the leader of the team, but I do think he'll be more unselfish. I mean, he played alongside Kevin Durant, who led the league in scoring like three times. So he can take a step back and still be successful. And I think – he wants to prove that he can win, and now he's got some help around him to do that.
If he averages a triple double with nothing, he can do it easily.
I saw that point on Twitter, but I'm thinking about, I don't think he'll average a triple double.
There's no need to. But look at the amount of assists that he could easily create for Paul George and Melo.
Right.
Look at like the fast break with him. Outlet that ball to him, Melo and George on the wings running. Like, come on now. And Steven Adams on the rim.
Thank you for mentioning Steven Adams. I feel like he gets lost.
That's a hard time. That's a hard thing to stop.
So how successful is this team going to be? Because we did our previews and everything else the first episode, but now this is a big addition to a team that we thought were going to be pretty good anyway. Mm-hmm. Is this team better now?
I think they're still third in the West.
So anything less than 50 wins is a failure.
Let me ask y'all something. If, like, at the beginning of the season and it just don't work out, maybe your bench struggling way too much, do you bring a Carmelo Anthony off the bench? What do you think? Do you think he'd accept that role at first?
Melo, I think Melo still want to get paid, dog. All of these players, these big three, they're all on one-year deals, and they still want to get paid. Melo's, what, 32-ish? Mm-hmm. 33? Okay. So he still has enough time in NBA to get another, not a max deal. No, hell no.
Definitely,
nobody's giving him a max deal.
A contract that fits
Melo. I don't even think anybody's going for that, like, that max deal anymore.
You don't think so?
I don't think they want to be not nobody like the 30 Melo Raymond. Oh, Russell Westbrook definitely won a max. Paul George won a max.
But coming off the bench, I can't see Melo doing that. I don't think I can see Melo doing that. But I get what you're saying, though, because Patrick Patterson can play the four in the starting lineup, and that bench is garbage, so they need a leader. But Melo coming off the bench, I couldn't imagine it. I don't even think Melo would do that.
I think,
you know,
honestly, I agree with what Mike said, have one of them on the court at all times.
Right.
That's and definitely going to happen.
Yeah, and then your offense will easily just be way
But they
better.
Got two guys who played, who minutes. Led the league in minutes played, Paul George and Russell Westbrook. So it's capable. Mm-hmm. And what I think is scary is when you put Patrick Patterson at the five. When they put that lineup
like
out.
Their small ball, yes. Like, warrior lineup.
Yes.
Yeah, but then I think they're going to still want Steven Adams.
Yeah, Steven Adams is definitely going to be one of their big – although he's proven himself, he's that X factor. He's got to be able to, like, consistently just protect the rim and just help them defensively. Because, I mean, Melo, he's not the greatest defender.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. I mean, you said Russell is a – Not a bad defender, but
he's an overrated defender.
He's overrated. He's capable, but he puts so much on the offensive end that he don't really have the energy to go lock down your best player on defense, too. Mm-hmm.
So what I want from Steven Adams, is I just want him to assume, I need him to at least protect the rim and grab just outlet it, because this team could be dangerous in transition.
For real. Okay.
So
I think people forget how good Paul George is.
No, okay, just explain yourself before I get
out. I just feel like George don't get the love. Like, man, like, I don't know. That's just what I feel. I feel like Paul George don't get the love that he
deserves.
Like
Paul George is honestly their best player.
I disagree, but I can understand where that argument comes from.
And I think he can be their closer, like, legit.
Thank you.
He is a big shot maker. Thank you. That one in the playoffs. Thank you. He airballed.
Yeah, that wasn't him. That was CJ Miles.
No, he airballed one too. You don't remember? Like, they came out with a commercial like right before he did he airballed
the Gatorade commercial.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I don't remember that.
What do y'all expect from Roberson?
Defense. Clamp up,
yeah.
Lockdown.
He's just that send the corner. Lockdown defender. He's send more like their Tony.
He needs to be able to hit that corner shot.
If he can make that corner three, it's that team.
Corner three and free throws.
Better. Yeah.
The free throws, I don't think will happen.
He's like a 50%.
Yeah, you can't be out there like DeAndre Jordan at the guard position. Come on, man.
I do, but yeah.
Robinson.
If he can make free throws and shoot you know, at least 35%.
What we're about to see right now is they're about to find somebody. I can't think of nobody's name right now, but it's a lot of people that's still lingering out there, or it's a lot of, like the Suns don't want Brandon Knight.
Well, you brought up
he's out for the season. He tore his ACL.
You brought up the D-Wade buyout.
That's your man's.
The D-Wade buyout.
They can probably pick him up.
It's so many like people that's. Has Mirotić resigned?
Yeah, yeah.
Not officially, they're going to. But he has no choice, basically. He's just going to have to accept the offer they have.
Okay, it's a one-year qualifier. Okay.
Even if they do get another shooting guard, isn't they going to move Robertson to the bench and make their bench even worse?
No. He don't have to. I would start him. But I'm saying that bench needs something.
Oh, you're saying they're going to sign a shooting guard to come off the bench?
Not even a shooting guard.
Just somebody that can lead a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. I would go see what Brandon Jennings is doing.
He signed in Shanghai. That's why he was in China.
I was just watching some shit yesterday talking about Paul George and Brandon Jennings' beef has carried on to China.
Yeah,
and I was wondering why Brandon Jennings was in China. Okay, so he signed.
Back to this Knicks epidemic. How do you feel about Michael Beasley?
Michael Beasley. They made this trade to get Michael Beasley the keys to the team. He's averaging 25, right?
Listen, I don't want to sound ridiculous, but I'm always going to be on the fence about Michael Beasley. He can turn his career around anytime. Michael Beasley is a scorer.
Yeah, let me tell you this. When he played and had minutes, I loved Michael Beasley.
Exactly. He is very capable. He is very, very capable. And we not in no triangle no more. We playing an up-tempo style. Man, Michael Beasley just might. He shouldn't have went as far as 25. Let's start with 15 first, Michael. But now that Melo's gone.
The only thing that worries me in Michael Beasley is his conditioning. I feel like he's going to be gassed out there.
He's smoking weed every night, man.
I feel like he's going to be gassed out there. He's not going to play a lick of defense.
Man, go watch.
To let you know how good Michael Beasley was, there was a real legitimate conversation. Should the Bulls take Derrick Rose or Michael Beasley?
I love Michael Beasley. Like when he was playing, I used to call him Michael B Easy on the Beasley.
Yeah,
he used to kill people.
He had good years in Minnesota. He had 40-point games. Yeah, he went back to Miami and was solid for them off the bench. He was good with the Bucks last year. He had a good year in Phoenix. Hey, when Michael Beasley gets the minutes, he puts up the numbers. He went to China and damn near averaged 40.
Yep.
I'm just saying. And Michael Beasley ain't bad. Listen, how old was him and Derrick Rose when they came out? 17, 18?
Yeah, they
you
were
give
both
any
freshmen
18-year-old millions of dollars and put them in Miami and South Beach, and you tell me what's going to happen.
And he had already had like a crooked pass too.
Exactly.
In one of the best cities in the world.
I don't know if Derrick Rose would have been Derrick Rose if he went to the Heat?
Probably not. Hey, he lived here in Chicago. He knew what the ladies was like. He knew what the city was like.
And he had no Dwayne Wade. It's tough going to a team that already has a star when you're like the second overall pick. You are automatically deferring to somebody versus being handed the keys to an entire organization when they're like, here, just grow. This is your we building around you.
Do you think that's why Kyrie wanted to leave?
I'm 1,000% sure that's why Kyrie wanted to leave.
Because they did draft him to give him the keys to the team, and then they went out and got LeBron back.
And I respect Kyrie for putting the team first, but I mean, at some point, that's another thing I got with ESPN. They were trying to depict his interview and things like that. Kyrie kept saying he just wanted to be in an environment where it's truthful and honest and things like that. And what he was alluding to, because they pretend the ESPN whole thing was, man, he came up here and he gave us a bunch of BS. He didn't. No athlete goes up there and really tells everything. You know what I mean? They just make you put the pieces together. And it's obviously that he knew about LeBron trying to get Chris Paul and things like that. And he didn't like it. So I don't know a player who would, though.
He just wants some stability.
Mike, if me and Contrell, let's say Contrell is the owner of the podcast, or King of the Forbes is the owner of the podcast, and I'm like, listen, I got this homie who will be much better for this podcast. Let's try to see if we can get him. And then he can't, and I'm like, if we can get him, we're going to take Mike out the pit. Mike will come in and be like, what the fuck? Let me go start my own podcast again. You know what I mean? Duh.
So with this trade, this gets back to the conversation of loyalty in the NBA. we saw Isaiah Thomas get traded after he put his heart and soul in that city of Boston. And there's Cantor, not to the degree of Isaiah Thomas, but he was so OKC, so OKC. A couple days ago, he tweeted this whole thing about how OKC is the greatest organization after Kevin Durant tweeted that from his main account, which should have been his other account, why he left, saying that OKC is the best organization in the world. He would not have it any other way. And boom, 4 days later, he is traded. So loyalty in the NBA, is it a real thing? Is it important?
Well, you've seen it. Like Derrick Rose got traded from Chicago. They traded him from his home team for pretty much nothing. D-Wade, the Heat didn't give him that money. He left. He back in Chicago.
Right, right.
So just because you a star, that don't mean they gonna be loyal to you.
Nah, I think loyalty is there, but it's stuff that just you have to do. You could be, I mean, if I'm a coach, or not a coach, but a manager, a general manager, and I, you know, love one of the players on my team, I love what he does. If somebody's throwing me an offer that I cannot reject.
Basketball season is finally back, and you know what that means. It's time to put your basketball knowledge to the test with one-day fantasy basketball at DraftKings. DraftKings is giving away over $400 million in prizes this season. That's more than 10 times what Los Angeles is paying the king himself. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. Draft your team is simple. Just select 8 players and stay under the $50,000 salary cap. Earn points when your players score, assist, block, rebound, and more. The best part is, you get to draft a new team every day without any commitment. There's no better way to turn your love of basketball into cash. Download the app or head over to DraftKings.com now and use my code BACKBOARD to support the show and play free with your first deposit. And remember, there'll be $400 million in total prizes up for grabs throughout the season. That's code BACKBOARD to play for free with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligible restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
As that's my job as well. So you got to put those friendships aside. Okay. I might, you know, it might be in my best interest to make that deal. I mean, that doesn't mean outside of it, we still can't be friends. We still can't be, you know, close. But, you know, sometimes your job do got to come first in these situations, especially with someone's going in the NBA and how they look at and they scrutinize just about everything. You know, that's going to come up if you deny that trade. It's, people are going to be looked into what you're doing, and it's going to make you look bad. So you got to do what's in your best interest.
Well, the players can't really deny the trade.
No, I'm not talking about deny the trade. I'm talking about the GM denying that trade.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad this stuff happening because I'm so tired of players being loyal to these organizations when they're not loyal to them. So now, because I like Melo was so loyal to New York, and I praise him for that. But at some point, you got to do what's right for yourself because the organization is going to do what's right for them. That's just
right.
Period. So I'm glad this stuff happening. So the players of this new generation, Markel Fultz, Lonzo Balls, Ben Simmons, the Ingrams, y'all look, y'all take advantage of all what's going on with these OGs in the game and learn and pay attention. Stop being loyal to these teams and do what's best for you. It's just that simple.
Okay. As far as loyalty goes, I feel like loyalty is important, but Mike, great points. Both of y'all, great points. When your job is to make a team better, you do your damn job. You do your damn job. If that means firing your best friend, I'm talking about you, Jerry Reinsdorf, fire guard packs, you do that for the organization. But some people don't live that way. Some people don't live that way. They rather have friends than to be better at their craft. And Sam Presti, obviously, right now, he's like, fuck the friendships. We won a championship in OKC. We had probably the best player definitely the best player in our organization leave us. We want to be back on our feet. So let's go get two players who are all-stars. This team has three all-stars right now.
You think he's going to re-sign them?
Do I think he's going to re-sign the three? Because all three of them are free agents this year. If he has the ability to re-sign all them, I'm sure he will. But it's more on, is Russell going to come back? Is Paul George going to come back? Is Carmelo Anthony come back?
The success of the team.
If that team is successful, I think they'll all come back. But the money is where it's going to get dicey because they still need to pay these guys.
I think the priority for him is Russ.
Oh, of course. Sure. But now, even after that, Russ is just not going to win you a championship.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he wants to go back.
Paul George just tweeted.
Being that one player, one star.
He just tweeted three thunder shocks.
Paul George did?
Mm-hmm.
Big three, man.
Now, hey, this is a question for y'all. We don't really know the answer, but we know Russell kind of keeps to himself, and he doesn't really talk, you know, expose himself in media. Do you think he's putting his foot in the door and, you know, kind of talking to the general manager?
He definitely did. Woj tweeted that him and Paul George were on the phone with Melo, and they're the reason that Melo agreed for this trade. Because the OKC Thunder were not on his list. He had Houston. Who else did he?
Cleveland.
He just added these teams, Trailblazers and Cleveland. Mm-hmm. But now he was on the phone. They were probably talking about this deal. Russell called him up like, yo, we want you here. Let's make it happen. And boom, it happened. So he definitely has his foot in the door. I'm pretty sure he was very, like, wasn't happy with getting rid of Nas Cantor because they were homies. The Nas Cantor defended him on everything.
Are you talking about Carmelo or Russ?
Russ.
Oh, yeah.
When Russ and KD were barking at each other during the NBA game.
Cantor was on the bench.
Cantor was on the bench talking shit, too.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a real down to their locker room.
We love that type of shit in New York, too. Cantor,
he was on, when he found out about the trade, he went on Periscope. I don't know if y'all saw that. He was on Periscope. He was doing just now. He was doing an event, a charity event in OKC. He found out about the news and he went on Periscope. But he didn't go on Periscope to say, I love y'all or bye bye. He's just on there, like, showing the kids. Like, I'm pretty sure he just wanted to seem like, I don't really care about this. I'm helping these kids out. And the whole time he's just like, say hi to Periscope. I feel bad for the dude, to be honest. He's in New York.
OKC, I have them on Snapchat, and to me, they seem like a great organization.
Yeah, yeah.
They like, what was that? They had a natural disaster not too long ago, right? Okay, Oklahoma?
Like a year ago.
It was a while ago.
And they did a lot to give benefit and give back to the community. And I see Inez, Roberson, Russell. I see all these people that just always give back to the community. I think that's great. That's what connects, because OKC has some really great fans. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think that brings in. And you don't always see these in these organizations. And I think that's why he had grown attached to them so much, because it's a community.
He probably grew attached to him too because they overpaid the shit out of him.
Yeah, no doubt.
Wouldn't
you be attached to?
Yeah, well, for sure. I'll do a charity event every day for that type of money. But it is what it is. A trade went through, and they play each other on the first game of the season. Is it rigged? The NBA, is it rigged? Is this all entertainment, or is this just a coincidence?
Coincidental. I'm gonna say it right now. It's a coincidence.
Yeah, the reason I can't say it's rigged is because all it takes is for one guy to not get what he want and not be happy.
Right. I wish this game was in New York, because I want to see what New York fans think about the Melo trade. Are they gonna cheer?
Hey,
are they gonna boo him?
If anybody ever in their life boo Carmelo and they call themselves a Knicks fan, they need to jump off a cliff. There ain't no reason to boo him. There's no reason.
I think they would probably boo him because they could have got more for him if he was willing to be traded 2 years ago. But he didn't want to move his wave.
And that's exactly why you shouldn't boo him, because he didn't want to go.
Or you can boo him because, well, we could have somebody better on our team right now. Because
who was we really going to get 2 years
ago? I don't know. 2 years ago, I don't know. I don't know specifics, but I just know for sure they wanted him out. And he was like, fuck that. This is my city.
And I respect the hell out of Melo.
So, okay, open the night.
Knicks fans can't be stupid, so.
Yeah. Open the night. OKC, how much they win by? Because the Knicks are garbage. The Knicks are a terrible team. How much is Porzingis put up? Because it's him. It's him and Ron Baker.
And you're forgetting Michael Beasley.
Michael Beasley. There we go. So maybe we got to close
the game. Don't forget about our $70 million man. No, the other one. Tim Hardaway Jr.
Like I said, there was a bunch of launchers on that team. Launchers.
Not no more. Melo gone. We just got, man, this is Porzingis' time to shine. Porzingis puts up 40 and we win by 2.
He is on a plane right now. He probably has no idea that Melo is traded, because there's no internet up there.
He's going to be
like
hurt.
Like 15 minutes before the news broke, he tweeted a picture of him on a plane, said, I'll catch y'all later. He's on the plane.
This shit is starting to sound rigged now.
He's going to land and he's going to be like, what the hell? My homies, I don't know if they were homies, but.
Definitely was homies.
Melo's gone. Or he can be like, yeah, Melo's gone. Give me that damn ball. This is my team.
They do have internet on. planes.
Yeah, they sometimes have Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure NBA players have Wi-Fi on their planes. Like,
I've never been on a plane.
Oh yeah, you could buy it, but I'm guarantee you there is.
Never been on a plane.
Yeah, it got Wi-Fi.
This year's a year though, because I'm going to see a bunch of teams play. I'll probably go to California this winter because it's gonna be cold here, and I'd rather not be.
Speaking of super teams, I know you wanted to say something about Kevin Durant.
I'll talk about what happened. Kevin Durant replied to a fan's tweet, basically defending giving the idea of why he moved or went to Golden State. But the kicker is that he tweeted it from his main account when in reality he wanted to tweet it from a secondary account. So that broke. He has a second account where he defends himself.
I wanted to go through his Twitter and look for his second account.
People have done it. Screenshots. But nobody can find out which one he is. Like, he can be a million screenshots of one. Of they found out which one is his fake account?
Yeah, it was. I believe that's what they were trying to say.
Well, you could probably look and see which one is completely defending him.
Because, I defend him on Twitter too, but I'm not a fake account. Yeah, I defend the hell out of him.
But you know what's crazy? It's not just Twitter.
It goes deeper than that?
They say he got... Well, he said himself. He got some shit on Instagram. And they said he was defending himself on another account on YouTube.
Yeah.
So on every social media platform, probably except Facebook, he got a secondary account where he was defending himself. But I'm gonna let you finish telling the shit.
Oh, that's pretty much it. He confessed to it. Mm-hmm. He deleted the tweets like 5 minutes after he dropped it. He realized.
Y'all chime in before me.
Is that okay that he has this second account to defend himself, or should he just be man enough to just do it on his main? Like, shut the hell up. I left because of these reasons.
All right, so let me put it in perspective. This guy, like I said, celebrities are real people. And if you take it, you know, you try to bash them, not even try to bash them, but you still have a voice you have to say in the NBA. So I think he does have the right to defend himself, but not in the way that he bashes the other organization, because they did a lot for him. They definitely did. But, you know, if that was a reason why he did move, he could find a way to put that more in a euphemistic way. But to answer your question, why not have a second account? Maybe he doesn't want to have that. He doesn't want to paint that image of him in that certain way. And he still has a reputation to build. He still has an image to, you know, take care of. A lot of his fans are children.
Okay.
So you don't want to, you know, look bad for these people, you know? So I definitely feel like having that second account to make these, you know, certain allegations or responses, that's fine to me.
Personally, I don't care. I don't really care what he does. If he wants to have a second account, sure. It's not really affecting anybody. It's not affecting nobody whatsoever. You can have your opinion about Kevin Durant, yada, yada, yada. But this account really means nothing. It's just some news because we're in September. And there's not much to talk about besides, well, the trade that just happened.
Before he say something, I wish y'all could have just seen Pierre's face. He looked like he's got something for y'all.
Okay, so listen. Before I even get to where I got to go to, Kevin Durant is a phenomenal basketball player. Seems like, I don't know him personally, but seems like a phenomenal person. He now have no run-ins with the law. Nothing crazy surrounding him. You know what I'm saying? Seems like a cool dude. I'm a big fan of him. One of the best scorers the I-League has ever seen. I'm talking about not just this generation ever. 6'11 with an actual guard handle. They always talk about, just got 6'10 with a guard-like handle. Kevin Durant really has a guard-like handle. Can shoot from anywhere. Can dunk on you. Can post you up. Going to shoot 89% from the free throw. All of that, fantastic. When I have sons one day and my nephews get older and I teach them about basketball, Kevin Durant is a name that I'm going to mention over and over because he's that good to me. He's a phenomenal basketball player. Nothing against him. With that being said,
here come the
caveat. My first bone to pick is with ESPN. Stephen A. Smith, First Take. Right? Because after this news broke, I watched them the next morning, you know what I mean, casually just watching them. And I'm like, oh man, Stephen A gonna have a field day with this. Of course the exact opposite happened. They talk about it, they talk about what happened, and they let him off the hook. They say, at least he admitted to it, he owned up, he's human, blah blah blah. Listen, fuck all of that. This man just won a championship was the finals MVP, dominated the second best team in the league. They beat them 4-1. They dominated them. Dominated them. He averaged 30 points. He just did all this shit talking. Came out with the cupcake shoe. Came out with the shoe with the soles of the 16-1. And walking on, stepping on his haters' words and all that shit. Right? And I, after all that, this man is clapping back, is what they call it, at Joe Schmo. The dude who bagged my groceries at Jewel is the people he letting those people bother him. This, it just shows you that Kevin Durant is a cornball. He's a cornball to me. He, this shit is immaculate, like cornball shit. This is top level. I've never seen no shit like this before. A professional $100 million NBA basketball player who just had the best season of his life is still bothered by the dude who work at Walgreens, what he's saying about him.
I find it impossible to dislike Kevin Durant, man.
Exactly. It's so, ain't it so hard? It's, but this, so hard. This is the cornball, the corniest shit I ever, like, you literally, like, just think about that. Like, if we doing this podcast right now, right? If somebody tweet us like, man, you did a horrible job today, I don't agree with shit you said. Are you, like, I don't think that's gonna really bother none of us. We probably don't keep our day going.
It happened on Twitter the other day. I just said thank you. Like, you listen to it, shit, that give us that.
And we not thing. And we not millionaires who got shit to do. Like, Kevin Durant got shit to do 24/7, coming out with shoes, got commercials with Gatorade, beautiful charities. City. I'm talking about busy NBA player. It's so caught up in that and cares so much that he created secondary accounts on not just one platform, but multiple platforms to respond back to people. And then they talk about he owned up to it. He had the press conference where he claimed he didn't do it on Instagram. The Instagram secondary account was just for family and friends. But then somebody on Twitter was like, no, it wasn't. Took a screenshot, and they had his fake account on Instagram, which I was telling you about, of him responding to people. Mm.
I think it's funny.
And then he gonna try. Then on my bad. Then on top of all that, he throw Billy Donovan and OKC under the bus. He just a corny coward to me, because it's more than Billy Donovan.
It seems like he's the only NBA player who really like interact with his fans on Twitter all the time.
I have no problem with that.
I know, it just seems like he really like responds to them all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like, I be thinking about, like, should I tweet him? Maybe I should get something for him to say.
I guess you guys just got to scrutinize him.
And he's on it, yeah. It just show you that he was trying to say all the time, hey, this is just a basketball decision. It was more than a basketball decision. He regret that decision, and it's eating him up still. After all that success he just had, it's still eating him up. Because this is my last point. I said all that because after they won, I went to my group chat and I said this. I didn't put it on social media because I didn't want to seem like a hater. But after they won, they showed the celebration. I text my group chat and I say, hey, that was the most ungenuine, unauthentic championship celebration I've ever seen in my life. And the reason was because they didn't feel like it was earned. That shit was too easy for them to just celebrate. Like, Klay Thompson struggled the entire finals and they were still winning by 20 points.
Exactly.
Like, that's like when we, like, just say we go to the Y. Right, and we got this dominant team,
which we usually do.
It's not going to be fun. Mm-hmm. If we just dominating and just killing, one of us is going to stop the game and be like, man, let's make this shit even, because it just makes you feel it's better when it's earned and it don't feel like you just, you know what I'm saying? It's too easy. That's how they felt, and that's why that shit wasn't genuine. I'm sure Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Iguodala, that feeling wasn't the same when they beat the Cavaliers the first time. And it was like, damn, we was the underdogs, and we just beat LeBron, and we had to work. Man, that shit was way too easy. That shit don't even, it don't feel like nothing.
And all that, well, that first ring, you're going to say it was given to him because Kyrie and Kevin Love went down, and LeBron still won them two games.
That's a good point.
LeBron, I mean, still beat them twice by himself.
I mean, it's nothing you can do about an injury. But, if you add a top 10 score of all time to a team that won 73 games and made back-to-back finals appearances, yeah, with a two-time back-to-back MVP, first unanimous MVP, you put all that together –
and Steve Kerr, you forgetting Steve Kerr?
Fuck Steve Kerr.
that's Mark Jackson shit, man.
Hey, I got number love for Kerr for what he did.
And the thing, like, the thing that I always wonder about the most is, like, you have these players, LeBron James sometimes does as well, like Kevin Durant. These are great players, But they still feel like when people are bashing them, they just feel like, how can you bash me after I've accomplished greatness? You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's why they feel like, man, I got to say something to it. Because who is he to talk to me at that way? You know, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But at a certain point, you reach a certain level of success and a certain height where it just shouldn't bother you.
You don't see LeBron doing it.
He does occasionally.
When have you, give me an example.
I mean, I don't know off the top of my head, but if you talk about LeBron in a certain way, he's gonna mention it.
When he left to go to Miami, did he tweet anything to bash Cleveland or say anything on social media to bash Cleveland? I don't recall.
Well, Klay Thompson said, oh, he was crying, but whatever the fuck he said. He said, I'm going to just do what I've been doing my whole career and just...
He doesn't even respond to other NBA players when they say dumb shit about
him. And him and Kevin Durant, those are two different situations. People always try to say, oh, why are you mad at Kevin Durant? LeBron did the same thing. And to clarify, when LeBron went to Miami, I hated LeBron. It took me to get over. Yeah. I had to get over. I got over that when he lost to the Mavericks. And I saw, hey, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be because Dwayne Wade isn't the same Dwayne Wade. And Chris Bosh isn't as effective because now he's a perimeter shooting power forward. So it wasn't as easy. It's not a cakewalk. Kevin Durant joined a 73 win team that he was up 3-1 against.
Yeah,
that is crazy.
That Miami Heat team was beatable. That Warriors team wasn't. Because the Spurs beat them. Also, you don't
think about it back then. I thought Miami wasn't going to lose for a while.
Me either. I was
they went
like,
on that 20-game streak that the Bulls, like, destroyed.
I was can this Bulls team lose 5 games? That's how good I thought they was going to be until I realized, oh, Chris Bosh. Is it going to be the same? Dwayne Wade is going to miss 30 games.
And another point to why it's different, LeBron had literally no one on his team in Cleveland.
No one.
Like, Kevin Durant had Russell Westbrook. He had a team that could be successful. They were one game shy of being in the finals. They were in the finals a couple years before that.
And that's, you can say what you want about Russell Westbrook, but I'll take him over fucking Mo Williams and Delonte West any day.
Easily.
Any day.
And then he left the team that beat him.
And then that's just his star help. He had other like quality help too. Deion Waiters was off the bench. Steven Adams is no slouch. Andre Robertson. They had players that comp. They built that whole team around Kevin Durant.
They was literally just like one piece away from being.
And Kevin Durant was the reason that they didn't win the game they should have won when Klay Thompson dropped 44. Kevin Durant had a fourth quarter collapse, not Russell Westbrook. Kevin Durant was doing shit that we weren't used to seeing from Kevin Durant, which always made me say, damn, was he just okay with losing? Like, hey, if we up 3-1, if we win, hey, I go to the finals, but if we lose, I know I can go to the Warriors. Like, I always question that. Like, what was his heart at? Was he really even fucking caring that if he lost, that they lost that Western Conference final series?
Do y'all believe that at the end of that series, they said that Draymond called KD after the
I believe it.
Yeah, oh yeah. Y'all, for sure.
He called him in the parking lot.
Called him in the parking lot.
And said, you should come play with us.
I believe it. 1,000%.
Crying.
I think he knew that we needed another piece.
Who was crying? Draymond was crying. LeBron. After losing that 7-game series against the Cavs, he was crying.
I would
cry too. Shit.
They knew they needed another piece to beat LeBron. They knew they didn't have enough. Because after they saw what he did coming up from 3-1, I feel like they knew.
I mean, yeah, they might have needed a piece, but Kevin Durant ain't a piece. That motherfucker is.
That's a franchise player.
Exactly.
Kevin Durant was obviously signed. A while ago, it's not too big, but we seen Chris Paul's trade rejected when he tried to go to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. But that's because the Hornets was owned by the NBA.
Okay, let's see. Do you think that we ever see another trade get rejected? Because we see all these super teams starting to, some super teams starting to form. Do they ever take a step back and say, nah, we can't let this happen? Because this goes back to our super teams ruining the NBA, at least the competition-wise. Because some teams, you just don't even want to watch. I love watching basketball. But some games, when, like you said with the YMCA reference, competition is definitely key to make basketball enjoyable.
Exactly.
So
as far as, I don't think they'll ever veto another trade unless it's like LeBron for a second. Like if it's like extremely like, but even then, no, trades like that don't happen. Trades like that don't happen because a GM is not going to trade their best piece for something that is so far down that the NBA is like, no, you can't do that. You know, because you want to keep your jobs.
Are the Hornets still owned by the NBA?
I have no idea.
That's the only time I can see it happening is if the NBA owns a team and they don't want to do it. I mean, I can see that when they have control like that. They was in control of that situation. I don't think that they'll ever step in and say, listen, no. You own a team, but we're going to stop you from making that. Then, if they ever did that, I would lose a lot of respect for them.
And then again, it was David Stern. Yeah. Who, you know, probably the most corrupt NBA commissioner we've had in a long time. But y'all move on to the next little bit.
Let's get it.
We got a game for y'all. All right, we're about to play a game named NBA The Price is Right, all right? And I've never watched The Price is Right, to be honest with y'all, so I don't know the exact rules, but we made up our own rules. Basically, we're going to play this game where I, as the host of this game show, say an NBA player that signed a contract this year. And these guys are going to have to guess how much he's getting paid in that first year. In that first year. We're not talking about this entire deal, you know?
Do we have options? Like A,
nope.
A, B?
You got it. Nope. You got to come out, and whoever's closest gets the point, all right?
Okay.
We got some names. The first one being, Dwayne Wade opted into the last year of his deal with the Chicago Bulls. How much money was this last year worth? We'll start on with you, Mike. How much money do you think Dwayne Wade's getting paid this season?
$17 million.
Okay. Derek?
$21 million.
Pierre?
$23 million.
Pierre's the closest. It is $23.8 million.
I play 2K too much.
I thought for sure it was
too much. I play 2K too much. I'm sorry.
$23.8 million.
I had my GM with the Bulls in 2K17, and I had to re-sign him.
Yeah, yeah, no choice. He opted in. He's not getting that contract.
And it was $23 million.
Okay, so Pierre, I want y'all to keep track of y'all own points because I'll lose track. Pierre,
I'll write it down.
I got a point, all right? The next player. The Lakers went out and took him off restricted free agency because the Detroit Pistons didn't want to match. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. We'll start off with Pierre since he got the last point. How much money is Kentavious getting paid for this one-year deal?
$20 million or $21 million? $20
million. Derek?
$21
million. Mike?
I'm a lowballer. $15
million. That you're wrong, Mike.
Yeah, you're wrong.
So we got $20 million, which is... How much did you say?
15.
$20 million is the closest because he's getting paid $17.745 million this year. So y'all were really close. You were just a little too low. I think in The Price is Right. Well, in The Price is Right, if you go over, you can't win like the actual game. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that because that's too difficult. So Pierre with another point. We're going to go with Stephen Curry signed another big time deal. One of the best players in the league signed a 5-year. Oh, I can't tell y'all the number because then y'all could just do some math. He signed a big deal with the Warriors. Pierre, against this, you won?
$28 million.
$28 million for the, we're talking about first year, $28 million.
Wait. $26 million.
$26 million.
$30 million.
Derek, you were the closest. This year, he's getting paid $34.68 million.
In the first year?
In the first year.
What the last year he get?
$45 million.
That's a nice piece of chump change.
That's right, a nice.
They asked him about it too.
That's money. That's
he was like,
money.
Obviously some things change, you know.
Next one, we talked about this team. We talked about him. Andre Roberson signed a 3-year deal with the OKC Thunder. Derek, you got the last point, right? How much money is Andre Roberson getting paid in this first year?
15.
18 million.
Who? In the first year, 18 million.
Let me change that back. they be taking my numbers, man. I said, all right, let me go with 13
million. 13 million.
Who?
Andre Roberson.
He signed. Oh, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
He got
that's a correct answer.
That's a point. Yeah. He got paid $9.26 million.
So 3 year for $30 million. Yep. Break that down, 10, yeah.
And it fluctuates from year to year. Next. A player that we argue with before, not on the podcast, before this podcast things were started. Otto Porter signed a big time deal this offseason.
What we argue about with him?
Because
Tim Hardaway. Yeah. I was justifying Tim Hardaway.
You were saying that Tim Hardaway wasn't overpaid because Otto Porter got paid this month.
Exactly.
Which is not true.
Okay. Yeah.
Otto Porter got paid this offseason. Pierre, how much is he getting paid in that first year?
He's getting paid $22 million.
$22 million.
26.
26.
20 mil.
20 million. It is 23.77. Pierre, that my GM, my league is really coming in handy.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Didn't he sign a $100 million?
Yeah, so at the last year of his deal, he's getting paid $28.5 million. So it's backloaded. So this first year, he's got the lowest number. Each year, he gets more and more and more and more. All right, next, Boston Celtics signed a backup center because, well, Al Horford doesn't know how to rebound. Aaron Baines signed a one-year deal with the Boston Celtics. Pierre?
$12
million deal.
That's
kind of fucking
13.
High. I was going to say 12, but I'm going to go with 11 now.
All right. Well, good thing you did, because he just got paid $4 million. All of y'all, all of y'all were way over, so Mike gets his first point. We also talked about this guy earlier today. Brandon Jennings. Signed in China. How much is this Chinese deal?
In our currency?
In our currency. Okay. Because I don't know how to translate yet. But yes, right. Our currency.
$12 million.
That's probably more than the whole damn team is worth. Derek.
$4 million.
$4 million.
Shit, he took my hand. Five.
It was $1.5 million. So Derek gets another point there.
Okay, I'd still take that. I'd still take that
because
I just want to ball.
The China season ends before the NBA, so he can still be eligible to sign with an NBA team after the year. So he'll imagine if he make that $1 million and then sign with a playoff contender team and get another $2 million. made $3 million.
Yeah, he'll probably average 30 over there anyway. Yeah, exactly. He don't look good.
Get his confidence up.
Who is that averaged like 40? Russ Smith.
Yep.
And he can't get an NBA deal.
He doesn't need one.
He does, but I'm sure if you want to play in the NBA, everybody wants to play in the NBA.
I see his argument, but when you had your time in the NBA, you didn't do shit with it.
Yeah. very Jimmer-like.
Go sign a two-way contract.
Next, how about that? Cristiano Felicio, Bull center, backup right now. He got paid big money.
Derek, you should know this. I don't, because I don't give a fuck about the Bulls, but you should know this. You're a Bulls fan, man.
Cristiano Felicio. Who won last point? Pierre, right?
No,
Mike did. Okay.
Five.
No, he didn't. Yeah. Did he? I did. Okay, yeah, okay.
Five.
$5 million. Derek.
I think it's around 10.
10?
Okay. Shout out to Felicio. I seen them at the Drake concert, Drake and Future concert, like a year ago when we walked out. I was like, damn, he just walked right past me. Big ass. But I'm going to say 6. Would you say 10 million? Get the fuck out of here. 6 million.
$7.8 million, Pierre. Yeah, y'all going to catch up?
How long is that contract?
It's a four-year deal. He's there.
Weren't you there the day the Warriors were there?
Huh?
Weren't you at the concert the day the Warriors were there?
What Warriors there? I went the second day when Kanye came out.
So, yeah, Draymond was there, too.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Then they were there, I didn't see none of them, though.
Oh.
Next, J.J. Redick signed a one-year deal with the Philadelphia 76ers.
$23 million. You might as well mark me down.
$23 million is right. He signed a 1 year $23 million.
I watched this little documentary
deal. Yeah, same. So, that was great. That was great. Yeah, I want to see more stuff like that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
You don't really see NBA player and his family and what goes into his mind when he's trying to decide what team do I want.
And I feel like he was one of the most, besides the top people, he was one of the most like crucial guys. He could have made or break some teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I really paid close.
That's his streak stay alive. He has never missed a postseason in his life. In Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's definitely got a chance.
And it's going to be because of him too. So yeah. Perfect player to put next to Ben Simmons if you want him to be your point guard, as they say they do.
James Johnson. Re-signed with the Miami Heat.
They gave him had too much fucking money.
I know that.
Had the year of his career. Slimmed down like 30 pounds. Had a good year. Pierre, since you won last point, how much money is he getting paid this first year?
$13 million. And shout out to the Heat. They got a fucking thing where they get their players in the best shape of their life. I saw Deion Waiters talking about that,
too. Yeah, if you want to revive your career, you go to Miami right now.
Perfect weather. Pat Riley going to get you in shape.
Derek.
15.
Fuck, you might be right. I think it was
17.
It was 13.95. So Pierre, okay, y'all getting destroyed right now. Pierre's out here. That y'all don't play enough my league, or y'all ain't keeping up. The next player we're talking about is a player that got paid big money because his team needed a point guard and they had no other choice but to re-sign him. Jrue Holiday. Paid big this offseason.
Yeah, he did.
How big, Pierre?
$21 million.
21 million.
21.
20.
20?
You might be 24. Right. He might have got 19.
24 would be the winning. This first year, he's getting paid $25.69 million.
I'm forgetting that it fluctuates. I just keep doing it. I keep dividing it in half between the years, and I keep thinking, oh, yeah, that's right. But I forget that it fluctuates.
In the year 2021, he'll be making $27 million that year. Big, big money for a guy.
Then they signed him,
I need to get like, one NBA contract.
Then they signed him for $880 million.
It was something like that. He close to a max deal because they had no choice.
They can give me $900K.
I'll sit on that bench gratefully and clap, do water, do whatever you need for that type of money.
For real.
Next player, former rookie of the year, former 20-point per game scorer.
Oh, Tyreek.
Tyreek Evans signed a one-year deal in Memphis. Mike, you got that point, right? How much is his one-year deal worth?
Let me go 18.
18 million.
That's way too much fucking money, Mike. For
12.
12.
9.
It was just $3 million. 3.29.
I knew it wasn't double digits.
Was he coming? He's coming off a pretty big injury, right? Yep. So he had to take what he can get. All right.
Worst team for him to go to, though. Shit. Grit and grind is not for you, Tyreek. Also, you can beat a point guard.
Listen.
You had your best season as a point guard, bro. You keep going to situations where they're going to put you as a small forward. I don't understand.
Was his best in his rookie year?
Yeah, he was the point guard. Yeah, and they named Sacramento being a dumb ass organization that they were, moved him to shooting guard, then moved him to small forward.
He's not a shooting guard at all.
Exactly. He's a point guard. Okay. He was highly touted in high school for being a point guard. Went to Memphis with Calipari, point guard. Mm.
I forgot the college part was that. He coached Derrick Rose.
He might not have coached Tyreek, though. He might have went to... No, Tyreek would have went with him. So, yeah, he was still the Memphis coach.
We got a couple more. One being Joe Ingles with the Utah Jazz. Now, they gave Joe Ingles... They paid Joe Ingles. Some people think he's overrated or overpaid. But they paid him that money because they thought that... Gordon Hayward would come back because they're supposedly homies. So, look, we just paid your homie, so come back to Utah.
And we got Ricky Rubio.
We got Ricky Rubio. But obviously, Gordon Hayward had other things in mind. Who got last point?
Mike?
No, I did. Okay, how much money is Joe Ingles getting paid in this first year?
11.
11 million.
12.
12 million?
14.
It was 14.4. They front-loaded this one, so the first year he's going to pay 14.4. His last year, he's going to pay 10 million.
Well, what would y'all do? Would y'all want it to be front or back end? You got the option on 2K, too.
Yeah, you can do that.
Well, I really wouldn't care. I'm getting the money anyway.
I think I'd rather get it back-loaded. Like, that the deal that what did we just talk about that somebody got paid like crazy amount in their last year?
Drew Holiday.
I would take that any day. That first year, that's money. That's real money. But you think about it, the last year of your deal,
you don't know where your career gonna be at. Man.
I'll take that any day.
Let's say you fucking blow your knee out and you still getting that $30 million opposed to that $20 million. Because you know the first year you're gonna be so fucking happy. You're going to do some dumb shit. Then me personally, I'm buying 2 Ferraris, a Lamborghini, Ferrari, a Phantom.
Rich, they already got those cars.
You might. But I'm sure they do. But when you get a big contract like that, you got to just spend
some.
You got to do something retarded.
You're going to get it back.
Exactly. Then when you get to the last 2 years, you can say, okay, let's slow down. Let's find a house that I want forever.
I wonder if they ever just slow down.
Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan ain't by nothing fancy. His whole life.
Tim Duncan was wearing Jordans.
Tim Duncan was in Old Navy. He won the NBA Finals. That was the funniest picture ever.
Do y'all ever remember the first time y'all heard Tim Duncan speak? Like it threw you off.
Yeah,
definitely.
Oh, yeah. His voice was like real song.
Yeah, I just want to thank Pop. Hey, he's doing real big things, though.
Yeah, for his island.
Yeah, the islands got hit hard by hurricanes, and he's down there.
He's doing the right thing with his
money. And he said he was going to match
$1 million?
Like J.J. Watt did with Houston. He just matched the money that was donated. That's real shit, man.
It was either for Irma or the other one that happened.
So much stuff is hidden at those islands. It's some scary stuff, man. Next guy, ex-Bull, Rookie of the Year, Michael Carter Williams got paid this offseason by the Charlotte Hornets. How much did he get paid? I don't know who won last point.
It was me. Let me go $12 million.
$12 million. Derek?
Who the fuck do you think Michael Carter Williams
is? $3 million.
$1 million, man.
Michael Carter Williams is getting paid $2.7 million this year.
I just think I had because the money they're giving out now.
Wait, what'd you say?
He said 2.7. I mean, I said three.
Oh, yeah. You got that one. So Derek is, well, no, you've got a couple points.
But three. He got three.
Yeah, it's not even close. Next guy, Dwayne Dedman, Atlanta Hawks. What is that deal worth the first year, Derek?
$12 million.
$12 million. We'll go with Mike next.
He said to Atlanta?
To Atlanta.
$8 million.
$10 million.
You got paid $6 million this year.
Another point for Mike.
A lot of this is more like, I'm seeing the way y'all thinking about it. Y'all thinking about how much would I pay him, right? How much is he worth? Instead of like, what a team's throwing him, right? Okay, the next guy. Gallinari.
Shout out Gallo. I love Gallo, but I'm going to go. Let me say, where are you going?
I don't know. He's in the Clippers. Clippers? With the Clippers. Sign and trade.
I'd say about 13.
$13 million.
Damn, it's crazy how a person can really just take what you was thinking.
That's crazy. I be feeling low. I don't be knowing what to
Derek.
Say. Just because I like Gallo, I'm going to give him $15 million.
15? Pierre?
16.
You got paid $20 million.
Hey, they don't have a starting small forward.
So. They needed it.
Yeah, they.
I'm pretty sure that was the. The sign and trade dealing with the Chris Paul deal, right?
Yeah.
He was a part of that deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Tim Hardaway Jr., Nick, Pierre, you got... Oh, who on that? That was you, right? Pierre, first year of his deal, how much is worth? We talked about this.
22.
Serge?
Did you say 32?
22.
I said Serge because that's the next guy on the list. I wasn't calling you Serge.
Bro. All right, well, I was wondering why you said Serge.
Derek, how much is Tim Hardaway Jr.'s first year worth?
Wait. Can I take that back?
Yeah, sure.
25.
27.
Let me take my number.
Okay. 25, 27.
You want 25? I'll go 24.
25.
Just
watch that. It's $16 million that first year.
Oh, God.
He didn't even answer.
He said 27. He said he was super high.
So he went lower and he just won that.
He just won because he finessed you out of an answer. All right, Serge. Last guy on the list is Serge.
I hope the Raptors didn't get his man no 20 fucking million. So I'm going to go in the teens. I'm going to go like 16.
All right. Next?
20.
Okay.
You're right. 19. They so stupid.
It was 20.
I'm dead.
So the final scores, I have 10. Mike is in second with 4. And Derek ends up with 3.
That was a slaughter.
Y'all gotta start playing my GM, dog.
I'm just telling you, I mean, I know it's the host, but if I was playing, I would've kinda won this game. Next time somebody else got a host, next offseason, because I need to play. My GM is what I've been doing.
I'll host. Oh, I think God. I'm retired. That was too easy.
Okay. And then it's just going to be the same score, but I'm going to be winning.
Exactly.
We're going
to
wrap up
so the show. So, Derek, we're forcing Derek out of retirement. He had the lowest score. So,
Derek to be the host. Bad. We're going to wrap up the show talking about NBA 2K18 just like last week. But last week we talked about it, I think, 2 days after release. So now it's been a whole week. Okay, we're just going to go around. I just want a grade. You don't tell me why you're giving a grade. 2K18, what are you grading it? A through F.
I'm giving it an A.
Okay. Derek?
A minus.
Pierre?
B plus.
I'm in the same range. I mean, we're all saying that this game is good. I made an entire video on YouTube talking about the things that I don't like about the game. But we haven't heard y'all opinions. I gave my opinions out to the world.
Can you restate them?
Okay, for this world? Of course. Okay. I don't mind that. So one of the biggest things, I'll just say the biggest thing so far that I dislike about 2K is the fact that you can't skip the damn cutscenes. Because of that, I've rarely played my career.
Agree.
I'm just playing a bunch of walk-on or not even playgirls, mostly walk-on to get my badges and stuff. But the cutscene skipping thing is something that we should be able to do. It's 2017. People been able to skip cutscenes since the damn N64.
Then the fucking cut screens ain't even good.
Yeah, they suck. They suck.
And then they reset my player.
Oh, yeah.
They reset his badges completely negative, and I got to own them positive. Then I got to earn them all the way
up. Wait, your badges can go negative?
Yeah.
They like, my whole, like, the whole thing reset, but my overall was the same.
I mentioned that in my video. I was like, the homie is, like, negative 12,000 and his ankle breaker.
Yeah.
But instead of making a new character, he just got to grind it out because it costs money to make a new character. That's, yeah, like, yep. What is that, $40 to get him to an 80? That's too much money.
Yeah.
But you've been grinding, though.
I got a couple of them positive.
What position are you?
A sharp shooting .4.
Of course. I knew it. I knew you was going to be some shit that you're not in real life. Yo, podcast, this man is not a sharpshooter at all.
I used to be in my prime. Not
never. He had a nice mid-range game for a big. He played like Kyle O'Quinn from the Knicks, but he's never a sharpshooter.
What we used to call you? He remind me of somebody. He looked like him, too. I can't think about it. It's going to come to me. I'm going to have to shout
listen,
out.
Everybody, just so y'all know, Mike is like a, who do I call Mike?
J.J. Hickson. J.J. Hickson.
Okay. A less athletic J.J. Hickson. Mike, who do I say might be playing like?
Dog, I remember. It was like, it's like a chubby. Jared Dudley.
I don't play like Jared
Dudley. Jared Dudley. He play like Jared Dudley with a better handle. KB, King of the Fourth, is like a, who would y'all say?
JJ. Oh,
what? Your, hey. So
if y'all can see my face right now, KB used to be a perimeter defender. I would call him like a Class. Roberson.
I'll say Patrick Beverly.
I'll take a Patrick Beverly.
Okay, yeah, Patrick Beverly, Patrick who can knock down a shot. Beverly. Now he transformed his game to like an Ian Clark. He just shoot fucking threes.
I'll take that too.
Ian Clark got some game.
Yo, Ian Clark is the exact type of player that the Pelicans needed to me. So hopefully he continues to do what he was doing.
He's not on the Warriors no more?
No,
they Pelicans. Ain't signing him. They don't need his ass.
He had some game. He was consistent too.
And myself, I would compare myself to like a mellow.
No, somebody else.
I would look at him as more like a Ben Simmons.
Porzingis.
I would give him a Kyle Anderson.
Kyle Anderson is perfect, bro. A slow tempo, but like forward that like point forward.
He's a very
slow moving point forward.
Yeah,
I don't know how he do it. But sometimes,
yeah, a lot of times when I go to the gym, I had the most last time I went to the gym, a dude was like, "Yo, you so slow, but I can't take the ball." I can't even be mad at that because I'm not fast at all.
And when you go by me, I'm just like, how did I just let dude just slow by me?
So we were in the gym. We got Kyle Anderson, Patrick Beverly, J.J. Hickson, and Jared Dudley. That does not sound like a team.
Change, man. You got me
okay,
all
who,
wrong.
Okay, you, who do you think you are?
I say I'm more of a Joe Johnson.
Which Joe Johnson? Prime Joe Johnson or 2017 Joe Johnson?
2015 Joe Johnson.
2015 Joe Johnson. Is that? No, okay. That's like 2013, 2014.
Was he in Brooklyn?
When he was in Brooklyn against the Bulls and he had like two game winners.
I just be shooting. I'm not the fastest, but I just be using my set.
No, he definitely improved.
There's not a lot of speed at this table right now.
Not a lot. Not a lot. And when we have our five that like lifetime, who be like our fifth?
John. Just a fill-in dude. It's either John or Mason. Guys
they
that
not,
come
they
out
don't have no speed either. So we just a slow.
John's kind of fast. He just can't jump.
He got defense
he
too.
He does have the vertical of like a 6-year-old kid.
I always bring up the fact that he has all the athleticism of any athlete that you need. He just can't jump.
That jump shot needs some work too.
Yeah, by five we win games. You know, I mean, okay, in our prime, which is like high school days, we were dogging. We would go to
The Y,
and yep. We would be on all day. There was not a five that could stop us. Even when they had better players, our chemistry was so nice.
Yeah, I used to like playing with y'all. I still do because the team is always well rounded. Derek is a true big who can do a pick and pop. Mike is like a perimeter threat. You can't leave Mike unopened on a perimeter.
Facts.
KB, he gonna give you that effort on defense, and he can hit the open shot. And then Mason remind me of like the perfect stretch four.
Yes, dog. Mason don't do nothing but pull that three and it's cash.
Yeah.
Remember, we were at the gym by my old house a while ago. We hadn't played basketball for like 4 months. Mason took the first jumper Mason took in 4 months was wet. He's just a pure shooter.
Solid
he's just
stretch
a pure
four, man.
Shooter.
And John got defense.
John is a defender too. Yeah, I mean, it's just the years of playing. Hey,
we had two defenders and three offensive players.
Hey, we need to get in like an 18-plus league.
Yes, bro. Yeah. I've been wanting to do that for a minute because I think it'd be amazing for like videos and stuff. Being an adult.
Yeah, I played in one recently and it was terrible. It was terrible.
Are you saying that you were terrible?
No, our team was terrible. I was like, dog, this is just...
Yeah, I feel like if you go in there just wanting to be on the team is trash. But if you come in with your team, like we got seven, you know, two rotation players in the starting five, it would be dominant. We would not be... I don't know.
I think it'd be a good team.
I would have to get in shape for that.
I like playing with y'all because everybody kind of know their role. On that team I was on, everybody didn't know their role.
Yeah,
I play out of my roles.
It was terrible.
Oh, for sure. You do that in game, in real life, in video games.
But I feel like in an adult league where we like really trying and putting that effort in, I feel like you were playing your role.
Mike also plays that as role.
I really don't have a role. I just shoot. I really just think of myself as I just shoot because that's the best thing I do. So why not?
But sometimes you come into the gym like, hey, I'm a playmaker.
No, I mean, I just do that because
that reminded me of that one time. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what
we were in the half court set. We were in a half court set. Mike was bringing the ball up because out of all of us, Mike is probably the best ball handler. I'm small as a guard, but I don't have the dribble moves.
Yeah, Mike got a good handle.
So we coming down court. I'm open on the wing. He's at the top of the key, wide open. Instead of giving me a nice bounce pass, nice chest pass, he decided he wanted to throw a no-look pass, and that shit sailed out of bounds for a turnover. That's typical Mike stuff.
That's Mike.
I remember when we went to Lifetime for the first time in months, and he hadn't played basketball because of his hamstring. And like one of the first shots my man took was a contested three over a big man. And me and Mason
that's also
like,
Mike.
Me and Mason was like, that's the first shot you're going to take? I didn't even run back on defense. I just had to think about that shot he just took.
Hey, in my prime, that would have been
and that's the exact answer Mike will give you.
Hey, at one point you were starting on sophomores before your hamstring injury, and then
that wasn't really a hamstring. I don't know what I
it
think,
was something with your leg. Yeah. Something with your leg, and then you know things went downhill from that. But hey, but I just playing ball with the homies is nothing better.
We definitely wish we can go back and relive those young years playing basketball. I think. Hey. It would be just fantastic. I think you take
all it takes
granted.
Is a time. In
you
the
definitely
gym,
take
it
that
just
up
takes
for granted.
Some time in the gym working out. You will be back to normal.
You definitely take that. I took that shit for granted. I miss going to practice every day. Even though I didn't love practice. It was just the being with the homies and playing the sport that you love. Even though you sprinting and shit, dog. I would go back. To
yeah, if I can get another year, I would be a different type of player.
Why did you get set a whole year? What was wrong with you?
Tore a tendon in my ankle. My senior year.
Oh.
The second practice.
Damn, that's fucked up. Second practice of the year?
I always wonder what was wrong. I never knew what
so
was wrong.
So this will happen. The summer league comes, right? We got a new coach, Coach Mitchell. Doran get fired. We all happy because Doran was a hard ass. But you don't know what you got till it's gone. Right?
Yeah, I love
so
Doran.
So here comes Mitchell. I love him too, but sometimes he just rub people the wrong way. And you, his stuff South was a lot of soft people. They don't understand that. I'm trying to tell him, like, bro, you want to be basketball players. When you watch Coach K, Krzyzewski, or whatever.
Yeah, just K. We just go K because you can't.
They chew them players out. They not soft on them players. They don't pat them on the back. It's okay, Brandon Ingram. You had a turnover. No, what the fuck are you doing? So, like, if you want to play that level of basketball, but you don't want nobody to tell you shit, I never understood that. But new coach come in. We have an open gym. I dominate the open gym. He pulls me to the side. Hyping me up, blah blah blah. Cool, great. A couple of our players wasn't there because they had baseball, which is an end of the year sport. And then over the summer, players had football, mm-hmm. So one of our players got hurt, and then he was a new coach, so some of our players was taking advantage and wouldn't show up. But I was going. So in the summer, he pulled me to the side like, "Yo, we gonna need you to do this and do that. You gonna have to carry or something." I'm like, "Cool, perfect, perfect. This is the opportunity I want." Season come, I get hurt. Second practice, like 3 days before our first game, I get hurt. Cool, whatever. They telling me the type of injury it was. If you ever had an ankle injury where it's not broken, like it's hard to determine it because it's a hard timetable because everybody's different.
Right.
If it's broken, you could just get surgery, heal, and come back in 2 or 3 months. This type of ankle type thing, they don't know if it's a high ankle sprain, torn tendon. They don't know what. So they saying it could be from 4 to 8 weeks. Blah blah blah. So I speed up my shit. I do my rehab. I sit in the boot for some weeks, and I speed up my shit. So they was trying to hold me back. So one practice, I'm like, fuck it. I got to show them that I can play. I went up. I dunked. And he started the practice like, oh, okay, you back. Whatever. So now I'm thinking, okay, he going to let me back in. But now he giving me this runaround. Hey, we got to slowly get you back in. All that bullshit. Let you get back in game shape. Blah, blah, blah. This motherfucker was giving me the runaround. Week after week after week. So then my dad got involved. You know my pops, how he is. He calling the coach. They going back and forth, blah, blah. The coach tells my dad this. Yeah, we wasn't sure he was ever going to even be a starter. My pops told me that. I thought it was a joke. I'm like, yo, right hand of God. This man literally told me that he was going to need me to carry this team at times. That's what he tells his. I cannot make that up. He went from that to then telling my dad that he didn't know if I was ever even going to be a starter. So I'm like, is this man serious? So then I stopped going to practice. They played me one game against Quincy.
I remember that game because you got in the game. I'm pretty sure you took like two shots immediately.
Yes. I took two shots. I gave Barrett a dime. A dime. A dime. I remember this like it was yesterday. A fucking dime. He missed the ball. You know what Barry did coming up the court? He tapped his chest and said, "My bad." Coach took me out. He took me out. Didn't play me the rest of the game. The next, I was okay with that because he played me early in the game. I said, "Okay, cool, whatever, fine." We won that game. The next week, I say like a Monday or Tuesday, a school day, we played DGS, packed arena. I mean, not arena, but packed gym. Y'all know how it is when we play DGS, right. Our rival. Packed. Close game. I'm so amped because I'm like, I just played this last game. I had a good game. Had good minutes. He's going to play me. I don't play 1 second. 1 second. If I could rewind, I would have quit in the fourth quarter. I would have just walked out.
Let me wait. They not really going to know. But give me, who are some players on this team?
That was a team with Jerry and Phil was the stars.
That was a couple years after that.
This is my senior year. So yeah, Jerry, Phil had graduated. Phil's a year older than me.
Yeah, Phil's older.
So This is a team with Jerry, Larry, Ontario, Barrett,
dude, that
Tyler
team,
Zampa.
That team had hoopers, bro.
Hoopers. And that team won like three games. And a lot of people, I'm like, bro, this team need me. Just not even for me, like being like the star player type shit, but it'll just give more depth, more, you know what I'm saying? It'll make us a complete team. It was just weird and out of sync.
It shows you how much a bad coach can make
Bro, that's how the whole school is, though. If you think about, we had hoopers at our school.
Yes.
And by the senior year, people like Larry, people like CJ, they didn't even want to play for the team.
Exactly. Mr. Moore was fucking garbage. He ruined our basketball program. We had so much skill. I'm not going to say his name, but one of the former coaches came through the drive-thru and was like, "I didn't want to coach there no more because Mr. Moore ruined the talent and wouldn't put the right people on the floor that deserved to play."
Like, it was politics. It was
very,
politics,
very
bro.
Political, bro.
I feel
it's a damn shame.
When I went to those games my senior year, I wasn't hooping no more, but I was going to the games because it's a social event.
Yeah.
The best players were not on the court.
Yeah.
The best players not on the court.
No, like, hold on. No diss to Brian. I'm not going to say Brian was bad. But when he started Brian over Marcel, I was low-key mad as fuck.
And Marcel
about that.
Is a hooper.
And he literally, like, Brian was not ready for that.
Very political. That's why Brian I say our Coach Mitchell, who y'all, he was the guy before who y'all talking about. That's what I'm saying. Like, after we were so bad early on, he gave up on the seniors and, like, Larry. All the younger guys was starting to get more minutes. Stephon, all the juniors was starting to kind of playing more.
Not as a person else came out. Stephon was not the best hooper at all.
I don't even remember who that is.
Stephon, there's no need to give him any highlight on this fucking podcast.
I don't even know. They definitely found a different player.
But yeah, it was just he gave up on the seniors and just gave. So I didn't even want that motherfucker to be our coach. But yeah, but after I quit, this motherfucker approaches me in the hallway. And asked me, was I going to tell him that I quit? I was like, no, I don't got to tell you shit. That's my exact words. And do y'all know who Dr. Mackey is?
Yeah.
I was going to his class. He'd get mad at me talking about being disrespectful, keep me out of his class. I'm like, fuck you and you. He like, why did I quit? Because you disrespectful. I got all these people in the fuck. You don't know how to be a hooper, right? For people to know that you can hoop. I'm not saying that I'm a fucking Duke prospect or a first round lottery pick, but I'm just saying I can play some basketball. For people to know that and they to come to the games and you not playing and you just sitting on the bench, that shit is embarrassing. Because you got people, I got to deal with that in the hallway for people to keep coming up to me. Why are you not playing? Or
exactly.
I got parents. One of my teammates' parents came to the store in the complex that we live in, and he was at the store and like, what's going on? Why are you not playing? I have no answer for you. That's embarrassing. And before the game, people ask me why I'm not playing. Or is he going to play you tonight? Parents of other players, not my parents. Is that shit just a bit? I have to answer those questions.
They should have just let Coach Slavic and Coach Lottie run the whole basketball
system. Coach Lottie was the
undefeated.
Coach.
No, Coach Lottie had this policy for y'all listening. He didn't care if you took the worst shot imaginable. He gave no fucks. If you play your defense, you were fine. And then that first game that he coached us, everybody took off. Y'all remember that game?
Did we win like 20?
Yes, we won. And then the same team that we beat, we played them again when Coach Lottie wasn't coaching, and we lost by like the same amount. Yeah. Everybody scored except for one guy. I'm not saying no names. Everybody scored except for one guy. I have footage of that game. You got an and one. You got an and one. And I got a floater like basically as time expired. Like, Coach Lottie, he took the pressure off your back. He's like, well, if I take this shot, I'm going to get benched if I miss. He did not care, and everybody balled.
Politics should not be involved at that age like that. You know politics get involved when they do the preseason photo shoot shit and the parents come in and they thanking people for like, oh, yeah, we want to shout out to a family, blah, 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 for
donating
the shooting machine and the shooting gun, and they helped us get a new shot clock.
Instant minutes for your son.
And then you're like, oh, that's why that motherfucker playing over my homie. Because even in years I was starting, my first 2 years, I started. I started for freshman A, and I started for sophomore. And it's never about me. If a person can hoop, I want them to hoop. Definitely. And they'd be like, damn, why ain't he playing? Coach, like, why the fuck don't you get this nigga minutes, but you get him minutes? And it's like, oh, that's why that motherfucker getting minutes, because his fucking mom bought the new scoreboard.
y'all remember when Amon used to come off the bench and go brazy, and sometimes he wouldn't play him at all?
Amon, he was like a sophomore, but he was playing on varsity.
Yeah, he was a hooper. Yeah. See, the thing is, they don't want. So when I say hooper, I'm talking about like they got that hood game.
Yeah.
It's like they don't like to see an organized ball. But if you can play ball, you can play ball.
But if you look at the teams that they're going against, they have that hood.
Yeah, every team got at least one of those.
All the good teams in our conference had that style.
Like
Morton, Paradise Elise.
Dude from Morton, the little dude that was just coming in.
Greg.
Yes, he
was.
Bro, God, dude was a baller.
Greg used to come in and just pull it.
They just let him play.
They just let him play, and they won. They bust our ass.
He was my teammate on Buckeyes.
That's why I tried to get my sophomore coach. One of the reasons I was in the doghouse with our junior year coach is because I didn't play varsity my senior year. I mean, my sophomore year. I purposely did some shit to irritate him so that he wouldn't ask me to come up. Because I didn't want to tell him, like, I want to stay sophomore. But our sophomore coach, he played professionally overseas, so he got the picture. He was talking to me. He was like, yo, I know they got you playing big, they got you playing center, but I'm going to work on you for the next level. Get your handles right. I'm going to have you with our guards and everything. And I'm like, yo, that's what I need. So I'm staying with you. So the varsity coach, he wanted you to come to like these preseason workouts and shit, and if you didn't come, he'd be mad. So I didn't go. He told me, hey, I wanted you to be on varsity, but you didn't come to those things, so I didn't really feel like you was really dedicated, so I'm gonna just let you be. So I'm like, perfect. And then I go to him my junior year. What they do, they got me with the centers. I'm 6'3", and y'all got me trying to work on fucking post moves that like, if I ever play in college, a 6'3 center, get the fuck out of here. Like, come on now. And that's just what they do. But how? We went from 2K to that. So let's get back to 2K.
Okay. Well, honestly, y'all ready to wrap it up?
We can. Yeah, 2K just need to
fix some shit.
Stop putting random people on my teams that don't exist. Wales is not even a real person.
Yeah. It's all for the storyline that nobody really care about.
Let me preview my hair. Before I spent $2,000 on some braids that look fucking ridiculous.
I got those braids on just because they look terrible. Shit. The hairline is like back here.
Oh, yeah, I watched the whole video.
Yeah.
Oh, and I wanted to give a shout out to you. That was my whole thing, because you had posted a video on YouTube and you was talking about my dad, your uncle.
Yeah, he called me that day too.
He called me 2 days ago. When I watched it, I'm like, wait till my pop see this, because he be real, you know what I'm saying? And he had called me like, man, I almost choked up and started crying. So I'm like, I meant to say it on the last podcast, because that video was like 2 weeks old damn near, and I wrote it on my pad, say something to KB. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? I got to shout you out to that, because he was asking when we shoot the podcast, and you know what I mean? That he really appreciated that. Y'all go check that video out too.
Hey, if it weren't for him, we probably not basketball fans right now.
We not.
So
he kept that in the household crazy.
So thank y'all so much for listening to episode 4 of Through the Wire. Of course, every week come out on Sundays. I get asked that on Twitter 3 to 4 times a day. When is the next one coming out? We're weekly on Sundays is when it come out. Maybe we'll get bi-weekly when the season starts, but right now, every Sunday, the episodes will be out. Y'all got any last words?
I can't wait till we do 2 episodes.
Yeah, that'll be great.
That's good. Yeah. All I want to say is, y'all make it happen for us.
Yeah, because I look forward to this shit every week. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
this is the highlight of my week.